Reflection means an unprepared sermon. Okay? So this is off the cuff, as it were. And I realise that we have to be quick, because some of us will want to get home to watch Serbia and Costa Rica, who kick off at 1 o'clock. It was heaven on earth yesterday, 4 matches, with just enough time to go to the loo in between. Absolutely superb. Only 3 today, but we'll make the most of it. So we'll make sure you are all home for the kickoff. And I did send a message to the lads from Iran. You will all, I guess, have noticed that Iran did win their first game. And for now, at least, they're top of their group, because Spain and Portugal only drew. So Iran are top of their group. Next week, things might be different. But we'll settle for what we've got. Anyway, should be more serious, shouldn't we? Baptism, to baptize. It's an interesting word, because it's not translated. When we read in our Bibles the word baptize, it's actually a Greek word that's been transliterated rather than translated, because everyone knew how controversial it was going to be. And anyone who dared attach a translation to it was inviting trouble. So even that most modern of paraphrases, the Message, which I read from occasionally on Sunday mornings, which sets nearly everything in idiomatic language, that too reverts back to the word baptize. Even the author of that paraphrase wouldn't dare to try to translate it. And over the centuries within the church, baptism has been a cause for division. We've divided over our understanding of what it means to baptize. We either baptize children or we baptize believers. It's not so much the amount of water we use, but when we do it. Because if Mellerin had been unfortunate enough to have been born into a Greek Orthodox family, she would have been baptized as a baby by immersion, because that's what the priests do. They baptize their babies by immersion. So immersion baptism is not just the swimming pool variety that we have. Some traditions impose it upon young babies. We wouldn't go that far, and I dread to think the noise she would have made if we'd have immersed her in the water. So we adapt according to circumstance, and so we use the sprinkling at the font. The amount of water doesn't matter that much. I was brought up as a Baptist, a denominational Baptist, by accident, really, accident of birth. I was born to parents who attended the local Baptist chapel. Indeed, the village in which I was brought up didn't give you much choice. You could go to the Catholic Church, but we didn't speak to them, let alone go to their church. You could have gone to the Anglicans, but there was always something slightly odd about the Anglicans, so you didn't go there. So what were you left with? You were left with Baptists. So that's where we went. And I grew up with a theology which understood baptism in terms of voluntary submission to an act that is required, an act of witness consequent upon a person coming to faith. And that was the journey that I travelled, and as a youngster grew up, and at the age of 17 was baptised in that way. But we Baptists are but a very small minority within the larger family of the church. The larger family of the church baptises children, youngsters, at the font. And I've had to come to understand that, coming to this church. One of the questions that was asked of me when considering whether to come was, would I be prepared to officiate at the baptism of children? There is a get-out clause. I am allowed to say no, and then you get in the local URC person to do it for me. But I thought, that wouldn't be fair, that wouldn't be right. That would be denying the pastoral dynamic that attaches to all of this. And there is a pastoral dynamic that extends to meeting with families and to talking about and preparing for and so on. And it would be wrong not to engage in that. So I said, yes, I'll do it. And it causes me to think about what I'm doing when I conduct the baptism of a child. Well, I think what I'm doing on your behalf is welcoming that child into the household of faith. Welcoming that child into the household of faith. And just as any child who is born into our own particular families has no sense of who we are at the time, you know, you remember that moment when as parents you thought, yes, they recognize me. They said Dada, they said Mama. They knew me for who I was as their parents. But actually, early on in life, you could be anybody. But over time, that unformed acknowledgement becomes a fully formed recognition. And I think what we do with children at the font is we welcome them into the household of faith. They don't know what's happening to them. They don't realize what is being done to them or why. But as the promises that were shared both with parents and with Katara and with us as a wider congregation attest to, as time goes on, we hope that that unformed faith becomes a reality. And in time, Mellerin, as others, will come to acknowledge for themselves what we have wished on her behalf here this morning. That's why we have what we call confirmation. When young people growing up in the life of the church, of their own volition, are able to confirm for themselves the faith that was wished for them when they were brought to be baptized. So it's a straightforward question to all of us, because I don't know where any of us are in terms of our relationship with God and the household of faith and this whole question of baptism. I imagine the majority of us have been either baptized as a believer or else baptized as an infant and subsequently confirmed. But there may be some for whom that process is only part way through. There may be some for whom that process has not even begun. There may be those who need to think seriously about baptism, either for themselves or for children within their family. There may be some who need to think seriously about having been baptized as a child all that time ago, never having got round to being confirmed. Perhaps it's necessary to think seriously about whether it's appropriate now to go through an act of confirmation. These are disciplines that we impose upon ourselves within the household of faith, the family of the church, to secure that family to be as one, a shared and common commitment. And what is it that we are committing ourselves to? Well, the words that were read for us in the second reading, Jesus' own declaration, I am come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. If we want to know life in all its fullness, you can only know that if it is lived out in relationship with God, a relationship forged through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, a life sustained by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, a life which is born and brought up around baptism. The invitation is for you.